Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We have a lot of basketball to talk. NBA draft, some college hoops, maybe a little bit NBA along the way. So we bring on Kevin Sweeney at CBB underscore Central. He covers all that and more for Sports Illustrated. But Kevin joins me now via the phone line. Kevin, what's the word, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me as always.
Absolutely. I want to start with sort of a tweet you had last week about a Memphis Tiger that I think a lot of fans want to return for this year. But he played last year, 22 points per game. Let's talk about David Jones off the top, because you were at the NBA Combine, sort of following all these things, looking at the open runs, and one of your tweets sort of, I guess, went viral here in Memphis about David Jones. He didn't do himself a lot of favors. He can't help what he measured in at, but he was 6'3.5" with a 6'6" wingspan, which is not good for a 3 in the NBA, which is where he sort of projects. And then in the open runs, he had some struggles on ball, turning the ball over, things like that. What did you see from David Jones at the NBA Combine that made you put that out there?
Yeah, it was funny. I felt bad after I tweeted it. I felt probably more demonizing than I needed to be. Like, I have a lot of respect for David. I thought he obviously had a phenomenal year at Memphis, and it would be great to have him in college hoops again next year. But he just was, like, really struggling, especially that first day. You know, the second day he made a couple of shots and I think settled in. But I think it's so hard in that setting there's so much pressure and you're so tight. And when a couple of plays don't go your way, how do you respond to it? And a lot of guys, you either go kind of into your shell and then you're too passive, or you do what Jones did and just got really aggressive and I think made some mistakes out of aggression, shots he shouldn't have taken. Obviously, I mean, you guys know as well as anyone, like, he's someone who is not shy, who is going to fire away, but at certain points, like, you have to settle in and play the right way. And I felt like at times in those scrimmages, it was just, trying to get back what he had screwed up in the first quarter, and it's always a bad recipe.
Yeah, and I'll say this: you don't have to feel bad for honesty. And me and Connor, my producer, we've been talking about this with David Jones ever since we saw he was invited to the NBA Combine. I think once he got there, the measurements really screwed him. But even before that, you really question his wherewithal on the defensive end, the effort he brings on the defensive end, and then how many shots he takes and how many turnovers he had last year. It just doesn't seem like this is a guy who's not going to come from a preferential spot. He's going to fight for a two-way contract. And a lot of those guys on two-way contracts, where they find value, you either have to be a young guy. You know, we have a guy here in Memphis by the name of G.G. Jackson, who we'll talk about in a second, who he's so young and he's got so much upside in the offensive end that can get you your spot. But when you're up there in age like David Jones is, 22, 23, 24, you have to find your role by being an absolute dog on both ends of the floor. You have to bring energy, and I just don't know if we've seen that from him on the defensive end at this point in his career.
Yeah, 100%, right? Like that was the type of stuff that was missing, right? All the glue guy stuff, the intangibles. Like, you know, the hope obviously is that he continues to shoot it as well as he did last year at Memphis, right?
Right.
Like 38% of high volume gives him a shot. That opens the door, but he's going to have to be more than that. And it just wasn't a great showing for him. I don't think, helped this case of getting a guaranteed contract, which realistically for all these guys is what they want, because at this point, the two-way, which is, $500,000 or so, I mean, that's not likely to be a financial upgrade from what they can make in college.
Now, I will say, on the David Jones front, if he comes back to Memphis with the roster they've put together, Penny, this fan base ought to feel pretty good about themselves. And I know we felt good about this team heading into last year because of all the talent they had, but we saw that there were shortcomings, especially on the defensive end and with team chemistry. But if David Jones ends up back with, P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter and all these guys that are on the roster right now, this Memphis team could be dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a nice job in the portal. Obviously, some guys that are, on second and third chances, but also guys with proven production, right? I mean, Tyrese Hunter is the type of competitive playmaking guard that every team in the country could have used. So that was a huge recruiting win. Certainly got bigger with, Dane Danger, Moussa Cisse, and Tyree Smith. Those guys, all bringing a different skill set in the front court, shooting with Colby Rogers. And, I know a lot of people are excited about Haggerty, but the other young guy I think that people should be excited about maybe longer term is Baraka Okoji.
Yep.
The George Mason transfer, like a I use the word slithery. Like, he just kind of finds ways to get into the paint. Not like an explosive athlete, but so long and smooth. Like, he's a guy that I think has a chance to be a really good player in time.
Now, I think that most people with this NBA draft sort of look at it and they say, oh, it's kind of weak. Weakest since 2013. Now, the last time we said that was, that was the Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards draft, and both those guys are in the conference finals for their respective conference. So it is what it is. We'll see how this one plays out. I want to ask you this question. This is a little more abstract, but G.G. Jackson, of course, was drafted 45th last year after his 1 year at South Carolina, 45th to the Memphis Grizzlies. He gets his contract converted. He just ends up on the all-NBA rookie second team today. If he was coming out this year, what do you think it would sort of look like for him? Where do you think he'd be drafted with this group of talent that we're looking at this year in the NBA draft?
Yeah, obviously it's tricky to gauge, right? Like,
right.
Are we saying off of what he did this year in the NBA or just off of what he did last year in college? Like, I do think there's some examples, similar to G.G. in this draft, Isaiah Collier and Ron Holland, who were elite recruits in high school, had, uneven college or, in Holland's case, G League seasons, and are now in a position where they go from, projected number one overall to now slipping. But those guys are only slipping to, the back end of the lottery. 10 to 14 feels like the floor for those guys. So I do think that in a weaker draft like this, G.G. certainly wouldn't have fallen. Obviously, now looking back, I think, G.G. would be seen as good of an asset as any player as you could get at the top of this draft class.
Yeah.
But I think if you were saying off of the South Carolina stuff, I think you'd be talking about late lottery, maybe mid to late first round at the worst.
Now with the NBA Combine, I know that It's not like the NFL Combine, which I follow very closely, where you have these ridiculous risers. Obviously, seven rounds as opposed to two rounds in the NBA draft, but usually in the NFL draft, you see a guy run a 4.3, and that guy will have his stock raise two or three rounds just because of how fast he is. But still, with that, were there any risers that you sort of looked at the NBA Combine that definitely staked their claim, hey, I can be a higher pick than you think I was going into it?
Yeah, I thought there were some positives on the athletic testing front for guys like Reed Sheppard from Kentucky. I thought that, you know, helped maybe solidify him in the top five range. Devin Carter of Providence, who I think has a chance to be a lottery pick. Dalton Kinect from Tennessee.
Right.
He tested a lot better with his like mobility and agility than I think a lot of people expected. Maybe that helps him get into the top 10. And then guys from the scrimmages, I thought Baylor Shireman from Creighton, you know, a five-year guy, older, a proven producer, but was just, you know, better than all these guys in the scrimmage. I thought he really helped himself. A couple other guys like KJ Simpson from Colorado. But, yeah, those are some of the names that come to mind.
Now, holler at me as best you can about Bronny James, because I think a lot of people thought he you know, rose considering what he did in scrimmages. He looked relatively good. His athletic numbers weren't bad, although he is only 6'1.5", which definitely hurts because you don't see a lot of guards. Really, especially two guards, which is sort of where he projects mostly. You don't see a lot of those guys under 6'3 really stake their claim in an NBA setting. But what do you think about him, his stock, where we're at right this second?
Yeah, look, I think it's important to remember that pretty much everything that could go wrong for Bronny in his college season did. I mean, the cardiac stuff aside,
sure,
which is a massive, you know, shock to the system, a huge comfort thing, also the lack of practice time, but then to come back, injuries all around him on a team with guys that were underperforming, a group of guys that were very ball dominant in Isaiah Collier and Boogie Ellis, a team with really bad bigs, a team with really just like no energy or juice. They weren't fighting for anything. By January, it was pretty clear that they were not making the NCAA tournament. Like, all those things were like the exact opposite of which the type of situation you'd want Bronny in. So I thought, you know, getting him in this setting and him looking more like the guy that was a fringe five-star recruit out of high school was great. Right? Again, is he a great prospect by any means? No. Like, he has his flaws. He's smaller. He needs to shoot the ball more consistently. He needs to continue to find ways to make an impact. But, like, did he look like a guy that would be out of place on a two-way contract? Probably not, right? Like, was he one of the worst players at the combine? No, and I think that was the most important thing. I think there was a lot of this was a charity invite. He didn't deserve it. Like, you watch the games, he was just as good as most of the other guards on the floor.
Now, the discussion points around why he could or should be drafted are kind of ridiculous. I know you probably heard Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider, last week basically say, well, you know, he's intriguing for a lot of GMs because he raises the floor for a G League team. You're going to put butts in the seats at G League arenas, and the merchandising will be insane. I completely put that to the side. I find that egregious. I find that dumb. If you're a team that's going to get into the Bronny sweepstakes, get into the Bronny business, why are you doing it?
I think number one would be the opportunity to get LeBron into your organization, right? Like, I mean, we don't have to beat around the bush. Like, that's a huge sell if you're not the Lakers, and if you are the Lakers, it's probably keeping LeBron happy. I do think there is some potential there, right? And especially in a draft like this, I think it's important to remember that, like, people use second-round picks for stupid stuff all the time. They draft guys overseas that they have no intention of ever bringing over. They sell the second-round pick for cash. Like, there are worse lottery tickets than, hey, this guy's probably not that much worse than the guy we would have drafted if we were trying to draft a guy to be on the team. And maybe this helps us get LeBron, or maybe this helps us market things, or maybe this helps us with this, that, or the other. Like, I think at the end of the day, that's the way you have to look at it, right? Is that, you know, the investment is not substantial, and the reward could be if things break your way.
But isn't that just an interesting rationalization? There's no really good rationalization for drafting Bronny this year. Like, it's just an interesting rationalization where you say, hey, he's not that much worse than a guy that we'd normally take in the second round, so why not? Like, that just seems insane to me, right? Like, in the grand scheme of why you make these picks, that's wild.
Yeah, look, 100%, right? And if I was someone in a personnel department, and my job was to go to 100 college basketball games a year and scout every kid and have detailed notes on why this guy could be a difference maker for us, and then, like, my owner walked in and was like, I want to sell tickets, or I want to try to, you know, make this, you know, pie in the sky run at LeBron, right? Like, I probably wouldn't be all that happy. But I think number one, I say this to everything. Like, this, none of this is Bronny's fault, right?
He's sure.
Let's not blame him. And number two, like, by all accounts, Bronny James is like a great kid who loves basketball, who's gotten consistently better, and does have a chance at some point in the NBA.
Yeah.
Is it going to get accelerated because of all of this? Yes. And that's the reality. Like, if he was Bronny Smith, is he getting drafted? Probably not. But I don't think he's as far away from an NBA player as a lot of people try to make him out to be.
Talking with Kevin Sweeney at @CBB_Central. He covers college basketball and NBA draft for Sports Illustrated. So make sure you go follow all of his work. Now, Memphis Grizzlies and the NBA draft lottery end up falling to 9. It's funny, just looking through the potential draft picks there, and you look at mock drafts, there's like 5 separate guys. I think Stephon Castle, Reed Shepard, who I don't know if will actually be there, Donovan Klingon's been in those conversations, Cody Williams has been in those conversations, Ron Holland. Like, when you're looking at that number 9 overall pick, what do you think could be in the cards for the Grizzlies right there? Who do you think actually could fall there that the Grizzlies would be interested in?
Yeah, like, I think some of it depends on, like, organizationally, what are your aims? Like, I would think, if I was Memphis, I'd be thinking about, you know, some of these upside swings with guys like Holland and Isaiah Collier. Probably Holland more is a better fit with what they have, like, as a roster right now. But just try to get, you buy low on a guy, right? Just like they did with Gigi a year ago. I do think there's something attractive about Dalton Knecht, you know, somewhat similar to like the Desmond Bane mold, right? A guy who is older, but just so productive, obviously going to be drafted a little bit higher than Bane was. But I think that would be attractive. I know some people have thought about them trying to go get a true center. Ideally, that would be Donovan Klingon. I don't think he will be available by the time they pick. He is probably, Memphis is probably the start of the range for Zach Edey, which opens up a whole different.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Conversation point. I wouldn't 100% rule out that selection as well. I think Zach I think that's probably the earliest you could see him picked, but there is some logic to be had with him given the way that he moves. I mean, he tested very, very well at the combine. I thought did a lot of good things to help his stock with his mobility and proving to people he can move his feet.
Now, Donovan Clingan, like if you put a percentage on him falling to 9, where do you think that percentage is at? I think I started at 5 to 10%, raised to 20% once I saw the order, just because I think it's, you know, if it's not the Wizards at 2, which I think would be very high for a guy like Donovan Clingan, but hey, you probably know more than me. I think that maybe 8 to San Antonio would be the other one I look at, but they don't necessarily need a 5. But I guess that if Donovan Klingon's in there and you have a Victor Wembanyama, Donovan Klingon lineup, you could unlock a little bit more for Victor Wembanyama. What do you think that percentage is at? Like very low?
Yeah, I think 5 to 10%.
Okay.
I'd be surprised. You know, I think his upside, like what he did in the NCAA tournament was really appealing to scouts. He shot the ball really well in these workouts. I think he winds up being a top 5 to 7 pick.
So do you think that, like, the shooting, like, because I think he was one of the best, bigs as far as the three-point shooting and shooting on the move. Like, do you think that that's something that will be part of his game when he gets to the NBA level?
I think so. Maybe not year one, but, like, it's coming. I went to a private workout of his in Chicago and basically saw him shoot for an hour. And, like, it's pretty impressive the way he's shooting the basketball right now. Like he is, I know a lot of guys can make shots in empty gyms and like the upgrade right to doing that in an NBA game is fierce, but like, I think he has the touch. I think his release is pretty smooth, pretty repeatable. I do think that if you're buying Klingon stock and part of it is you're trying to find how can he be a little bit better than Walker Kessler, right? That's been the comparison, you know, with Kessler with the Jazz, like the big hawking rim protector. How can he be more than that? I think, you know, spacing the floor is that X-factor skill, and I think most NBA teams believe that Donovan Clingan will eventually be a shooter.
Now, you brought up Zach Edey as sort of the peak of his powers in this NBA draft. Peak of his draft ability would be at number 9 of the Grizzlies. What do you think about him as a prospect? Because I think this is a very polarizing topic, especially here in Memphis, talking about him. Some people absolutely love him. You know, he had a lot of volume and still had a high percentage in college, although you're not going to use him like that in the NBA. But other people say, well, he doesn't move his feet well enough. He'd be a liability on the defensive end. I think always the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but what do you think about him as a prospect and what he can do at the NBA level?
I think when you view Zach Edey through the lens of, oh, he's a big, like his archetype, right? He's a big guy who wants to post up, who's not, you know, spacing the floor necessarily, who's not like a crazy athlete, then yeah, you're going to say he's going to fail. When you watch the film, though, you come away with a different conclusion. You see a guy who has great hands, who has incredible stamina, who does a really good job protecting the rim and being vertical, not fouling and giving away free throws, does a great job of communicating, does a great job of getting out of area rebounds and like impacting the game that way. Like he is really, really good. And I think he's going to find a way to be a useful NBA player. Again, like what is that? Is that a top 10 pick? Maybe not. Like I think that does feel a little bit rich with Zach. But I 100% believe that using him in 4 to 6 minute spurts in the NBA where he's able to go all out, I think he'll look better in some ways as a defender in the NBA because he won't be being asked to play so many minutes. He can be more aggressive. He can hunt blocks instead of I have to get away and not foul. I think that was a big part of his game at Purdue was making sure he was on the floor for offense. I think he'll be a little bit more balanced in the NBA. And I think his size and physicality is so overwhelming that it will make an impact at the NBA level.
Now, hammering out some college basketball. Last time we talked, we were really talking about John Calipari immediately, you know, getting into Arkansas. He had nobody on the roster. Now, he's filled out that roster okay. Obviously, he needs some more guys, although it seems like he may not do that. He was on a podcast appearance a few weeks back that Myron Medcalf wrote about for ESPN where he says he only wants 8 or 9 guys because he doesn't want to train guys to ultimately get in the transfer portal and leave him. But he's got Jonas Adu, John L. Davis. He brought over a lot of his young freshmen. Boogie Flan sort of leads the charge there. How much do you like his roster year one at Arkansas?
Yeah, he's done some good things. It'd be nice to finish it off with DJ Wagner. Obviously, you know, the first year was not fantastic for him at Kentucky, but you know, the talent's still there. And having an older point guard instead of relying on Boogie Fland, I think would be great. But you know, sort of by accident, Calipari has stumbled into the type of roster that I think a lot of people wanted him to build in Kentucky, which is, you know, some older guys who've been around college basketball mixed in with a couple of those blue chip freshmen like Carter Knox, who I think will be one of the higher scoring young players in the country next year. So it is funny to, you know, sit here on May 20th and say they only have 7 scholarships allocated. You know, it sounds like they're in the mix with Wagner, also in the mix with, you know, some pretty big fish internationally. You know, guys who could be projected first round picks next year if they come to college. So we'll see how it finishes off, but it will be a fascinating approach if he sticks at 9 scholarships. I mean, look, I understand it. I know you, every guy on the end of your bench is probably going to be unhappy, but you know, I'd like to probably at least have 10 or 11 just to have the depth. I mean, if you're at 9, you're one or two injuries away from being really, really thin. I think that's a risk.
Yeah, and I also think that if you're running out a bunch of walk-ons and GAs to try to scrimmage against your highly touted freshmen, those highly touted freshmen may not get the looks they need, at least in preseason, until they get into those exhibition games and early season games. And that's something that's always been a problem with John Calipari rosters, is he'll get halfway through the year and some of those freshmen aren't coming along the way they should, and he'll just sort of give you they're freshmen. They're freshmen. Give them time. And it's just like, I don't think that people at Arkansas, just like people at Kentucky, didn't want to hear this. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, look, I think the early excitement about the Cal era will last for a bit in Fayetteville. And obviously, it's like it's a thrill to have him as your coach, because you always have like the most talented team in the country, right? And you're winning the offseason every year. But I do think, like, I don't think he's going to be able to just do exactly what he did at Kentucky and magically think the results are going to change because he's at Arkansas now. Like there's work to be done here and modernization that needs to happen if he wants to be successful. And it'll be fascinating to see, obviously, this year, but also moving forward, like how significantly he reshapes his program vision from, you know, what truly wasn't working over the last 4 or 5 years at Kentucky.
Now, last couple of things for Kevin Sweeney at @CBB_Central, covering college basketball and NBA draft for Sports Illustrated. I saw, and obviously he's a contributor to Field of 68, which is what I'm about to reference here. I saw you and Rob Dowster get into like at least a little bit of a gentleman's disagreement, and it has to do with where John Calipari is leaving in Kentucky. Kentucky or Louisville's roster right now, the way that it's been put together. We have Pat Kelsey at Louisville. And then, you know, at Kentucky, we have a guy who I think brought over a lot of his a Mark Pope, at BYU transfers, guys like that. But he also has landed a few guys. But when you look at Louisville, Chucky Hepburn, Terrence Edwards, which is a guy I really wanted to see the Tigers get involved with, Kayshon Pryor, who we got to see, you know, heavily at South Florida. He was unbelievable last year. Javon Hadley. Feels like that Louisville roster has been put together really well by Pat Kelsey in year one. But which one would you lean to right this second?
Yeah, I really love the Louisville group. I think it's been cool, and Doster and I talked about this on the show, it's been cool to see both guys build their rosters like in the vision of what they want. Like, this hasn't just been talent accumulation. Like, Kentucky has really, really emphasized shooting. Obviously, a huge part of how Mark Pope built his BYU teams. They've talked openly about shooting 30 to 35 threes a game at Kentucky. And Louisville is versatile, athletic, switchable dudes, right? Case and Pryor from South Florida, one of their latest additions. He's 6'10", can handle the ball. Out of Terrence Edwards from JMU. You mentioned Hepburn, just like a solid piece to run the team offensively. So I think both guys have done really nice jobs. Kentucky needs that final piece, that star power wing player. They're recruiting the Chaz Lanier kid from North Florida very heavily. If that doesn't go their way, you know, do they pivot to Luka Poplar? Do they try to get Jackson Robinson, who seems like he's leaning towards the pros? Feels like Kentucky needs one more big piece to push them over the edge. But I think both guys, you know, given what they inherited, which was not much in either case, have done a pretty good job making their rosters at least look relevant for year one.
So who do you think does better, I guess, in year one? Louisville in the ACC or Kentucky in the SEC?
I would lean Louisville. Okay. I think part of that is the league, as you said. I think the ACC, a little bit more upward mobility. The SEC, recruiting at a high level across the league. I think the roster a little bit better right now for Louisville. But I do think it'll be close.
I hear you. Well, Kevin, I'll let you roll. I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is Kevin Sweeney at @CBB_Central. Colors. covers college basketball and NBA draft, and even more than that, for Sports Illustrated. He is also a contributor to Field of 68, so check out all of his work there as well. Now, Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Make sure you go check them out at 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road, behind the Amoco station. It is a two-story storefront. It's massive. You're going to love what you see when you get in there. You go in, you pet Earl the dog. He'll greet you at the door and tell Earl that I sent you. And they have the best clothing in there from the best brands. Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. Your favorite teams, whether it's a vintage tee or in those great brands. They have Tigers, Grizzlies, Arkansas, Tennessee, you name it, they have it. They also have sports memorabilia, hunting and outdoor essentials, vintage vinyl. If you're someone who likes to go tailgate during the football season, they have all your tailgating gear there. The cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers, you name it, they have it over at 964 June Road at Oxbow. And you can go online as well. ShopOxbow.com is where you find them online. And when you go online at ShopOxbow.com, I can give back to you. I have a promo code that you can use. You use the promo code when you go to check out The Gabe Show. All caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you'll get 20% off your online order at ShopOxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in store to 964 June Road at Oxbow, make sure that you shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now we need to go ahead and hop into the Blitz. We had a little bit of a G.G. Jackson conversation with Kevin Sweeney, so we'll hop back into that as he gets a nod to the NBA All-Rookie second team. And then an interesting story out of the NFL with a new draft pick to the Arizona Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Fanatics. They're not getting along right now. We'll try to shed some light on that when we return. This is the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.